Welcome to the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign's Big Money Podcast. It's Tuesday, April 19th, and the Democracy Campaign released a report today that shows candidates and outside special interest groups spent $5.4 million in the recent Supreme Court race that pitted incumbent Justice David Prosser against challenger Joanne Kloppenburg, who is an assistant state attorney general. The Democracy Campaign report says outside groups spent an estimated $4.5 million on the race, including $2.7 million to support Prosser and $1.8 million to back Kloppenburg. The four candidates in the race spent about $913,000 through March, including about $406,000 by Prosser and about $351,000 by Kloppenburg. Here to talk about the race is Democracy Campaign Executive Director Mike McCabe. Mike, where does spending in this race compare with the cost of previous Supreme Court races?
Well, it was a very expensive race, but it's not a record. It falls short of the levels of spending that we saw in 2007 and 2008. In 2007, about $5.8 million in total spending could be accounted for. In 2008, it went up to about $6 million that we could account for. This is about $5.4 million, so it's a short of that record level that we saw in 2007 and 2008, but certainly a very expensive race.
Tell us about the outside special interest groups involved in the race. How many were there, and were most of them the same faces we've seen in recent past elections?
Well, we saw about three dozen different committees spending money on this race, and one of the fascinating things is that some of these committees were actually just individuals who set up their own political action committees to be able to spend $100 or $200. So the nature of the activity was the likes of which we just haven't seen before, certainly not in Supreme Court politics. But really, when you look for the big money in this race, it really came down to just a handful of groups. On the left, in support of Kloppenburg, you had the Greater Wisconsin Committee. That was the group that spent more than any other group. And so that they were at the very top of the list as far as outside interest group spending. That's a group we've seen heavily involved in state legislative races in the past in favor of Democrats, in statewide elections, again, partisan elections in favor of Democrats. So that was the big group that supported Kloppenburg. Now, more of the spending was done, of course, on behalf of Prosser, you know, about $2.7 million in favor of Prosser, about $1.8 million spent in support of Kloppenburg. Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce was the biggest spender on the right in support of Prosser. WMC, of course, is the state's leading business lobby group, the state chamber of commerce, and they've been a longtime player in Republican politics, state legislative races, statewide elections, for various offices. So WMC is a long-standing player. Second among the groups in favor of Prosser, though, was an outfit that sprang up new, and that's Citizens for a Strong America. It appears to have ties to the Tea Party movement and also Americans for Prosperity, which, of course, is funded by the Koch brothers, Koch industry. They set up a Beaver Dam address, which was nothing more than a postal box in Beaver Dam. This was clearly an outside interest group outside of Wisconsin, came in here to influence politics here. Club for Growth Wisconsin, which is the state arm of the National Club for Growth, they've been involved in some state elections in Wisconsin in recent years. They jumped in here and spent about $500,000. And then the Tea Party Express. Now, that's a new entrant, again, part of the Tea Party movement. This particular one has origins in California. A California-based political action committee started this outfit. So there was another example of an outside interest group coming in to Wisconsin to try to influence this race.
This was the first high court race under the state's new Impartial Justice Act and the public funding that comes with it. How did it go?
Well, the law was really only operating at half strength, and it had some beneficial effects, but again, only really half of the law was operational for this election. The law has two major components. One are basic grants to the candidates. Those were made. The candidates got these public financing grants, were able to finance their campaigning using that public financing. So what that did is it freed the candidates from the need to do all this private special interest fundraising. They were able to take their money and go out and meet voters and reach out to voters instead of spending all their time dialing for dollars. So it had that beneficial effect. It also freed the candidates from future claims of conflict of interest. Whoever ends up sitting on the bench in this race is really free of the need to recuse themselves in situations where donors might come before the court because they didn't take those private special interest donations. So they're not going to face all the claims of conflict of interest. And so it was beneficial in that sense. But the law also was designed to give them extra public funds if they faced outside special interest group spending, and there was a bundle in this race. They were supposed to get matching funds to be able to counter those kinds of attacks. The problem was that that depends on disclosure of that outside interest group spending, and the disclosure rules that would have required reporting of that spending are tied up in court and weren't in effect for this election. So the candidates didn't get those extra funds. And in that sense, because the law was only operating at half strength, the candidates really reached a point where they became pretty much irrelevant, and they were pushed off to the sidelines and became bystanders as these interest groups did most of the advertising, most of the talking in this election. So in that sense, the law wasn't able to operate as it was designed to operate, and the candidates were limited in what they could say and how they could respond to any of these attacks because there wasn't reporting of that outside interest group spending that would then trigger the matching funds that they were supposed to get.
Okay. The outside forces affecting the race were the usual schmear groups, their negative ads, and their other antics, as well as efforts to tie the election and Justice Prosser to the recent actions of Republican Governor Scott Walker and his unpopularity in some circles. You know, these are things that affect the election but have little to do with what voters should look for in a judge. So that may bring up the old argument, should Wisconsin find another way to select its Supreme Court justices, like appoint them?
Well, this was as partisan a nonpartisan election as you could possibly imagine. There's no question about it. This election broke down on partisan grounds. Clearly, Democrats were siding with Kloppenburg, Republicans with Prosser. This election did very much become a referendum of sorts on Scott Walker. It was a very, you know, the politics of the last 8 weeks in Wisconsin definitely were infused into this election. But, you know, I don't think you can possibly take politics out of judicial selection. You know, and look no further than the United States Supreme Court. I can't imagine a more political court in the land than the United States Supreme Court, and yet it's an appointed court. So, you know, there's always going to be politics in judicial selection. You want Supreme Court elections to remain as nonpartisan and as above politics as possible, but taking the voters out of the equation won't remove politics from judicial selection. It'll only remove the voters. And I think the key is to try to make sure that we have Supreme Court elections and not Supreme Court auctions. And that's the trap that we've fallen into here in Wisconsin. And we saw it particularly in 2007 and 2008, where basically seats on the Supreme Court were auctioned off. This race wasn't as expensive as those races, but it was pretty darn close. And so we still saw this sort of auctioning off of a Supreme Court seat, and that's something that we've got to get a handle on. Now, Wisconsin has elected Supreme Court justices for over 150 years, and for a century and a half, we've been able to elect Supreme Court justices and I think have a Supreme Court that deserved the respect and trust of the people of Wisconsin. It's only in very recent years that those elections have been turned into auctions. So personally, I think what we've got to focus on is making sure that we've got elections for these offices and try to make them as nonpartisan and as nonpolitical as possible. But look, when things happen in the other branches of government, and you see in there are voters out there who believe that power is being abused, it's only natural that voters are going to try to to react to that by perhaps calling on the third branch of government to be a check on that power. And our system of government was designed with checks and balances in place so that no one branch of government could have too much power and abuse that power. And I think a lot of voters are concerned that the lawmaking branches of government are abusing power right now, that they are going too far. So I think it was only natural for voters to look at this Supreme Court election through that lens. And if they were concerned about what's happening with the lawmaking branches, or for that matter, if they're supportive of what is happening in those branches, they're going to look at this Supreme Court race through that lens. And that's I think something that's totally natural and to be expected. Now, that's an unusual set of circumstances. I don't think we're going to see too many Supreme Court elections like this one. But I don't think you can blame the voters here. I certainly don't think that taking voters out of the equation is going to make judicial selection suddenly totally non-political.
Okay. Well, thanks for your comments, Mike. For more details about the cost of the April Supreme Court race and details about the groups that influenced it, please check out the April 19th report on the Democracy Campaign's website. Thanks for listening.